No bumper today. We're just going to move right into the message. We're going to talk about Christmas. We're breaking from our Acts sermon series for just a couple of weeks. We'll pick it up in early January. But I just want to say that I think of Christmas this season of the year as a time that people just tend to be kinder and maybe more patient and more generous. Have you noticed that about yourself and others as well? And so I suggested to somebody, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could just be like this 52 weeks a year? Why do we have this attitude for just a few weeks? Why can't we be kinder and gentler and more patient all year long? And he looked at me like, he said, what are you, some kind of a nut? Well, yeah, maybe I am. I don't know. But I think it's true that I'd love to see the spirit of Christmas be a year-round thing for all of us. Now, today I'm going to give you a Christmas message. This will be the only chance I'll get to speak to you this service about Christmas. So I've got one shot at this. But the problem is that you've heard the Christmas story so many times. You almost know it by memory. You know it by rote. And the problem is we can hear something so many times, the same story so many times, that we tend not to really hear it. So we're going to do something special right now. I've never done this before. We're doing it right now. I want everybody to stand. On your feet, everybody. And while you're on your feet, I want you to gather your belongings, your purse, your water bottle, your coat, whatever you brought with you today. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4 sections here. I want everybody to move at least one section, east or west, and if you're in the front, go to the back. If you're in the back, come to the front. We're going to mix it up today, okay? So you cannot stay in the same section, even the same part of the section. You got to move around. So let's go. Another section. Come on, and let's have fun with this, okay? If you don't want to sit next to your husband, ladies, you don't have to, okay? This is your pass. Hallelujah, right? Oh, I like it. I like it. Look at you guys. Right down here in front, way to go. We're doing this thing, aren't we? All right? Everybody's moving? Come on, B. Come on, B. Right down in front. Got a spot for you. That's as close as you're going to get, huh? All right. Somehow, most of you ended up at the back anyway. How did that work? Look at you. Well, can you all breathe okay? Is the air the same on that side of the building as the other side where you always sit? You know, we really are creatures of habit, are we not? We tend to sit in the same spot every time, and I can almost take attendance when I'm preaching just because I know where you're going to be. So this is good for you and good for me. But what I want to do today as we begin this Christmas message is I want you to listen as Linus tells Charlie Brown what Christmas is all about. So watch the screen.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
All right. Good show, huh? You know, when Jesus came from heaven to earth, that was the fulfillment of literally hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming Messiah. Just the book of Isaiah alone, this prophetic book, has over 100 different prophecies about Jesus, about the coming Messiah. And in all these messianic prophecies, as Isaiah was recording what the Lord was telling him, you have to wonder if maybe Isaiah the prophet didn't scratch his head a little bit and say, Lord, are you sure about this? Are you sure that, having the Messiah come as a newborn baby, so helpless, so innocent? Are you sure that's a good idea, God? And to be born to a peasant teenage girl, a virgin at that? Lord, that just seems so scandalous. And what's this about Bethlehem, God? Why in the world, of all the places that Messiah could appear, why would you want him to be born in Bethlehem, that little tiny village? So we hear the story, we've read the story, we know the story, and to us it seems just normal. But I got to tell you, church, that to the original people, to the central characters of the Christmas story, to Mary and Joseph, to the innkeeper, to the shepherds, to those who were intimately involved that Christmas when Jesus came into this world, it was anything but ordinary, anything but usual. We tend to think of it like a Norman Rockwell painting, you know, just a beautiful scenery, but it was such an unusual night. Jesus Christ, when he was born, became the greatest gift that God has ever given to mankind. Amen? Amen. And you know what? A Christmas message wouldn't be complete without the Christmas gospel, which I think is John 3:16. So let's read this together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So there's that great verse, and we get to live that every Christmas, every day, really, when we're followers of Christ. Now, just out of curiosity, we're going to take a little survey here this morning. How many of you open your gifts on Christmas Eve? Anybody here open their gifts? Okay, look at the hands that are up. All right, I see about 3 or 4% of the congregation, all right? I open gifts on Christmas Eve because my wife says that's when I have to. So obviously, the spiritual ones open gifts on Christmas Eve, right? What about Christmas morning? How many of you open gifts on Christmas morning, all right? All right, the unspiritual ones, the majority, that's fine. You can have it your way. But, you know, invariably, you get something that's what? The wrong size, the wrong color. Or sometimes you get a gift and you think to yourself, what in the world were they thinking when they gave this to me? Amen. So we need to practice right now so that when you get that gift that's the wrong size, the wrong color, just the wrong thing in general, that you say the right thing. So I'm going to help you to have an Academy Award performance, all right? And here it is. Here's the 4 words you need to say. And it doesn't endorse the gift at all when you just simply say, this is really something. Can you say that back to me? This is, now turn to your neighbor, a big smile, like they've given you that gift, and say to them, this is really something. Now you're ready for Christmas, no matter what you get, amen? But the gift of Jesus never is the wrong size, never the wrong color, never goes out of style, right? The gift of Jesus is the most priceless treasure that's ever been given for 3 reasons that I want to enumerate for you this morning. First of all, it's because our sins can be forgiven. This gift of Jesus coming from heaven to earth means that our sins can be forgiven. You know, at Christmas time, people really do think about peace, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And you wonder, is that really possible? I mean, how can there be peace on earth? How can there really be peace with other people? Because there may be someone in your life that you're definitely not at peace with. How can you have peace with someone else, though, unless you're at peace with yourself? So many of us live with inner turmoil and conflict because we're conflicted about things in our own lives, things that we know we should do but we don't do, or things that we don't do that we know we should do. And so there's that inner conflict. So how can you be at peace with yourself unless you're, first of all, at peace with God? And how can you be at peace with God unless and until the sin question in your life, in my life, is finally cleared up? So here's a little spiritual formula for you. Peace within equals peace without. If there's ever going to be peace on earth, if there ever will at any time be peace between nations, it all starts with the individual. Don't you know that? It all starts with you and with me when I finally come to terms with God, when I come to peace with God. So I read about this this incident a few years ago. This cookbook, somewhere back east, was being recalled. Have you ever heard of a cookbook being recalled? Not in my life. I've heard of cars being recalled, toasters, baby strollers, but I've never heard of a cookbook being recalled, but this is absolutely true. This cookbook was being recalled because the authors of the cookbook realized that one of the recipes in the book left out a key ingredient. And if the people followed that recipe as it was printed, it's very possible that what they were baking, what they were cooking, would blow up in their faces. And I read that, you know, that could happen. And I thought to myself, as every preacher would think, there's got to be a sermon illustration there somewhere. Amen? It turns out that there is. And here it is. Here's my application of that illustration. When we follow God's recipe for life, when we allow the Prince of Peace to come into our lives, when we allow Jesus Christ to come into our lives for the forgiveness of sins, when that's a part of our life, when that's a part of the recipe for our life, guess what? We just live so much better. But when you don't follow God's recipe for your life, when you try to live life your own way, when you don't allow that recipe or that ingredient of peace to come into your life, guess what? Life can many times blow up in your face. I mean, why is there so much depression at Christmas? Why this time of the year is there so much anxiety and so much sadness? It's because people are living their lives with the wrong recipe. And so God says, here is my gift to you. My gift to you is my son, Jesus Christ, the greatest treasure in the world. It's my offer of peace and pardon and forgiveness. I want to tell you something, Nate, my friend. I'm talking to those of you online too right now. If there's something in your life, your past that haunts you, if there's something that you feel so terrible about that you've done, and you think to yourself, I don't know if God could ever forgive me for this. Believe me, God already knows what you've done, and God is more than willing to meet you halfway. He's more than willing to forgive you from anything in your past. There's nothing that you could do that is beyond the scope of God's forgiveness. Amen? So years ago, when I was a kid, I got a toy called the Etch-a-Sketch. Anybody here ever have an Etch-a-Sketch? You know, those came out in the late 1950s, and since then there's been like 100 million Etch-a-Sketch toys that have been sold. I had one when I was a kid, got it one Christmas. I was thrilled. Listen, for those of you that are young, a lot younger than me, this was our screen right here. This was our video screen. Pretty pathetic, amen? But you could do all kinds of things with the Etch-a-Sketch. I could play tic-tac-toe, and you could draw, you know, buildings. And I was never very good at drawing, you know, faces. I saw some amazing artistic work. But the cool thing about the Etch-a-Sketch was if you made a mistake, what did you do? You flipped it over and just shook it, and all of a sudden the screen was clean again. Wouldn't it be great if we could do that with something in our life? Wouldn't it be great if that guilt stain that we deal with all the time, the thing that we can't get past in our own lives, if that could be erased just like an Etch-a-Sketch? Well, do you know what? Turns out there's an Etch-a-Sketch verse in the Bible, and it's one of my favorite verses. It's Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, and this is what it says. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet. And let's just stop right there for a moment. You all know, you ladies certainly know, that scarlet is called an ineradicable color, meaning that once something gets stained with scarlet, with purple, it's probably never going to come out. But though, here it says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as what? Anybody here know what snow is? Do I need to explain that to you? Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. The coming of Jesus from heaven to earth means, first and foremost, that our sins can be forgiven. And secondly, it means that we can have help in our present situation. Help in our present situation. Now, in Luke, the second chapter, we read there, and we heard Linus read about this, that those angels appeared, first of all, to those unsuspecting shepherds in the field. All they were doing, it was just one normal night, just like any other night in their lifetime. They were just watching their flocks when suddenly it became anything but normal. When the sky was ripped open and an angel appeared and gave this incredible announcement to these lowly shepherds. Here's what it says, Luke chapter 2. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior, say the word Savior, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. You think about of all the people that God might have made the birth announcement of his son to, of all the individuals or groups of people, the collective groups that God might have made this grand announcement to, you kind of wonder, don't you, why choose these plain, lowly shepherds? I mean, the job of being a shepherd was pretty far down on the totem pole. They were totally disrespected in that day. They were not thought of highly at all. I mean, think about this. On one occasion, the Old Testament prophet Samuel was directed by the Lord to go to the household of Jesse to anoint the future king of Israel. And so Jesse very proudly lined up all of his sons, and Samuel went from one to the next. Not that one, 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 not that one. He came to the end of the line, and Samuel turned to Jesse and said, "None of these are the future king. Do you have any other sons?" And Jesse thought for a moment. Then he turned to his wife and said, "Well, dear, are there any other kids that we've got?" He basically ignored David, the shepherd boy, the runt of the litter, the one that was out watching the flocks in that moment. Such was the lot of the shepherd. For one thing, the shepherd was considered ceremonially unclean. They were not allowed to go to the temple because many times the shepherd had to touch a dead carcass. And once you touched a dead animal, you were not permitted to go to the temple for a season. Now, they also were out in the wilderness. And let me tell you what, I've been to that wilderness in Israel. There are not a lot of showers out there, okay? It was a stinky, dirty, smelly business. So physically they're dirty, and religiously they're far from God. And my guess is that maybe that night they felt like they never measured up with God. Maybe just like some of you might feel right now. Maybe you feel like, you know, I'm not good enough. If God only knew the things that I've done. Well, believe me, God knows the things that you've done. He knows. And I'll tell you what, my friend, you can turn your back on God, but He will never turn His back on you. He will never leave you. He will never stop fighting for you, because God is not against you. He is for you. So here we have these shepherds who felt so unworthy, so unnoticed by culture, by their culture, by their society. And yet it was to these very people that God chose to announce the birth of His Son. God didn't choose the religious aristocracy. He didn't choose kings. He didn't choose nobility. He chose simple shepherds who felt so unloved and so unworthy. And my friend, that should tell you all about as much about God as you really need to know, by the very people that God chose to make this birth announcement to. Now, it says in my sermon notes here that I'm supposed to tell a story right about now. And so can I tell you a story right now? It's about this little boy who one Christmas was writing a letter to God. He didn't believe in Santa, so he just went right to the top. Amen. And here's how he started his letter. "Dear God," because he wanted certain presents for Christmas. "Dear God, I've been a good boy for a whole year now." And he thought about that for a moment, and he crossed it off and started again. "Dear God, I've been a good boy for a whole month now." And he thought about that and crossed that off and started again. "Dear God, I've been a good boy for a whole week now." And he thought about that and crossed that off. And at which point, he went over to the nativity set in their home where all the figures are, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the sheep and the baby Jesus. And he grabbed the figure of Mary, went back to his desk, and stuffed the figure of Mary in the desk drawer. Now he started again. "Dear God, if you ever want to see your mother again." I don't believe that, right? That we talk about God helping us in our present situation. You know, how much time do you have? I mean, since I've already opened the subject of peace, let me double down on that. Peace is something that's so lacking in our culture today. But when you love the Lord, God gives you a peace of mind. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, "Those who love your teachings will find true peace." And I know that we hear a lot about peace this time of year, but most people don't have a clue about how to find supernatural, lasting peace that passes all human understanding. Some people, this time of the year, or all times of the year for that matter, will try to find peace by drinking, because if they drink enough, they'll forget about all their troubles, all their sorrows. And that's when they'll find peace, but that doesn't last. And then there are people that hop from one relationship to another, thinking that maybe I can find somebody who will fill that void in my life. And that doesn't work. And then there are those who try to keep so busy, maybe especially at this time of the year, because they don't want to think about those thoughts that make them sad and lonely and fearful. But that's not where peace comes. Peace comes from having a real, deep friendship with Jesus Christ. And that is what God made possible by that first Christmas. Real peace comes from knowing that as a child of God, the Lord will never stop caring about me. The Lord will never stop loving me. Real peace is knowing that no matter who deserts me in my life, no matter who leaves me, that the Lord will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He will never let me go. Amen? And I know that Christmas is tough for some people. You're not going to be with family members that you'd love to be with. In some cases, your family member is missing because they passed on, maybe in the last year. And there's an empty place at your table this Christmas. And this season is just a poignant reminder of the grief and the burden and the sorrow that you have. And it's tough. It's tough to find joy sometimes and peace sometimes when you're carrying that burden of grief. We have a great grief share ministry, and let me encourage you to plug into that. They're going to be picking up a new season coming up in just a few weeks. But beyond that, the Lord says that we can cast all of our cares on Him because He cares for us. Can you see yourself just laying your burden down at the feet of Jesus and saying, Jesus, you've got to take this burden from me. I just cannot carry it another day. The angels came to announce peace. Peace in your life, peace in my life, beginning with peace with God through forgiveness of my sins so that I can have peace with others. And you at Christmas can find this real lasting peace. That's help for the present situation that we find ourselves in. And finally, hope for the future. God promises me a certain destiny, and my destiny is determined through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, when we talk about the gift of Christmas and the gift of Christ at Christmas, there are some gifts that just don't last. I can remember some Christmases getting a toy in the morning and by noon it was broken. Can anybody relate to that? And then there are those gifts that you get, but you wonder, why did they give me this? Let me just remind you of a couple. Here's one, a pet rock. Anybody get a pet rock ever? Anybody here remember pet rocks? They were real popular back in the mid-70s. And believe it or not, the guy who thought this up, a pet rock, which is the most ridiculous thing you can think of, became a multimillionaire because of that. Pet rocks. Or how about a chia pet? Anybody here ever get a chia pet? For anybody here know, remember getting a chia pet? I'm so excited to get a chia pet for Christmas, said no one ever, all right? It just doesn't last. Thankfully, when Jesus came to this earth, He came to bring us the greatest gift ever, hope for the future. And the gift of that destiny that's been assured because of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I got to tell you, church, it becomes more precious to me with every passing year. Because with every passing year, I see more and more of my friends are on their way to heaven. My parents are in heaven. Some of my closest friends on earth, like Joey and John and Harold, are now with the Lord. And I just imagine having a conversation with some of those who have gone on to be with Him. Like my friend, most of you know Joey, so I'll just talk about Joey. You know, when I think about Joey, I just imagine a conversation, because he always called me boss, you know. And he just imagine that he comes to me now. He's been gone about 16 months. And Joey says, boss, heaven is so much better than I could possibly have imagined, so much better than anybody ever told me. Said, boss, heaven is so beautiful. That's the good news. And the even better news, boss, is that there's baseball in heaven. We're both baseball fans. The bad news, boss, is you're playing first place in heaven on Tuesday. That's the bad news, all right? How do I know my friends are in heaven? How do I know my mom and dad are in heaven? Because one day they made an all-important decision to receive Jesus Christ into their life. And because of that decision, their destiny is determined. The Apostle Peter said this, God has reserved for His children the priceless gift of eternal life. It's kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And then Paul says this in Romans 6, the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And I know how important it is to go Christmas shopping this time of the year. We want to get just that perfect gift, don't we? We want to get the gift that just speaks to our loved one, to a close friend, whoever. I think back to several years ago when our oldest kids, our twins, were about 8. And that was the year that the Transformers and Cabbage Patch dolls were the number one gifts. And I got to tell you, I went nuts driving all over town. You'd hear about a shipment of Cabbage Patch dolls arriving at this store. So I'd rush there, and they were all gone by the time I'd get there, and Transformers. And I finally was able to secure just the right gift, just the perfect Cabbage Patch doll for Angie and the Megatron Transformer for Jesse. I got to tell you what, they were excited to get them. I was even more excited to give them. You know that? I was so pleased, so thrilled to give them those great gifts. And then Jesus comes along and says this in Matthew 7:11. So if you imperfect people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And look at that verse for a moment. Imperfect people, that's me. I'm imperfect. You're imperfect. And yet we strive to give the perfect gift to our sweetheart, to our fiance, to our spouse, to our kids, to whoever we choose to give gifts to. And it says, we're imperfect, and we want to give good gifts. And then he says, Jesus said, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who what? What does it say? I can't hear you, church. To those who ask him. You have to ask him. Now, every gift in life from God is free. The air you breathe is free. God doesn't charge you for the air. He doesn't charge you for the sunshine on your face. But this gift is so special. You have to ask for it. You have to ask God, God, would you allow your son Jesus Christ to come into my life so that I might have a personal relationship with you? And my friend, when you make that most important decision, guess what? You can have peace with God by the forgiveness of your sins. You can have help for the present situations that you find yourself in beyond much of the things I've talked about today. And you can also have your destiny, a hope for the future, a destiny that is assured. Let me close my message with this story about a young boy named William Sperling. William was in seventh grade, and he was kind of big for his age, a little slow mentally, but his classmates loved him because he was such a good-natured kid. Well, it was Christmas, and the church was putting on a Christmas play, and William really wanted to play the part of a shepherd. But the teacher said, no, William, you're perfect to be the innkeeper. You know, the innkeeper is supposed to be big and kind of imposing, a little gruff, a little rough. So he played that part. So when it was time for the play, Mary and Joseph came to the inn, and they knocked on the door, and William answered the door. And when they asked for a place to stay, William said kind of harshly, there's no place for you. There's no room in the inn. And Joseph said, but my wife and I have traveled a long way, and she's very tired, and she's about to have a baby. Can't you find just some place where we could rest? And again, William, through this rough voice, said, you're going to have to find someplace else. And Joseph pleaded just for a place to Mary to lay her head for the night. And then there was silence. And it was one of those awkward silences. Have you ever been at a play when somebody forgets their lines and nobody knows what's to happen? Well, that was that awkwardness right then. The awkwardness of the audience wanting the innkeeper to say something and the whole cast. And so off stage there was this prompter that was saying, no, be gone, no, be gone. And so William, he realized his line, and so he said, this time with a gentler voice, no, be gone. And Mary and Joseph sadly turned to leave. But as they did, William, playing the part of the innkeeper, suddenly regained his voice, and he said, wait a minute, you can sleep in my room and I'll stay in the shed. And the teacher thought the play was ruined until she realized that from the mouth of a seventh grade boy, the real truth of Christmas was evidenced in that play. Because Christmas is about Jesus saying, let me take your place. Let me come and take your place for you. Because you see, Christmas is incomplete without the cross. You know that, don't you? The Christmas story in and of itself is a beautiful story, a touching story, a revealing story. But it's not complete unless and until we realize that the reason this Christ child was born was to take your place on the cross, to absorb the punishment of your sin for you, so that you wouldn't have to be separated from God. And that's the great gift of Christmas. And in just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to ask you to follow the words that I pray in this prayer. And if you're ready today, especially if you've never done this before, to receive Jesus Christ in your life, so would you just bow your hearts and heads? And no one's looking at you right now, but as your heart, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I just want you to realize something. If you've never realized this before, here it is right now. Jesus came from heaven to earth for you. Jesus came to give you a gift. The gift of the forgiveness of your sins. Think about that. The gift that you can finally have peace with God. The gift of help for your present struggles, whatever those might be. And the gift of hope for your future. And so if you're ready to receive that gift today, if you've never done this before, this is especially for you, but for all of us for that matter. So I'm going to pray, and just follow along silently as I pray and make this prayer your prayer. Simply say something like this: Dear God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for Christmas. I thank you for the gift that you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that you've made it possible for us to not only have a personal relationship and a friendship with you, but to know that our sins are forgiven, that we have your Holy Spirit working in our lives each and every day in the present time. And Lord, finally, when we come to the end of our days, to know that we will be with you forever and forever. And so, Lord, here and now, I repent of my sins. God, I'm sorry for my rebellion against you. And I receive Jesus Christ into my life, knowing that he paid the penalty for me when he took my place on the cross. So right now, Father, this day, I receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of my life. Thank you for the change that you're working in my life beginning from this moment forward. And we pray this and thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, listen, if you prayed that prayer today and you've never prayed that prayer before, I want to talk to you at the end of the service. Okay, I'll be here. I'll be at the front. I'd love to have a conversation with you, because the next step for you is to be baptized into Christ. That's the very first thing you want to do. Once you've made the decision to accept Christ, the next step is to be baptized into him. And then we have a wonderful program called Discipleship. So the Lord bless that decision. And if you've made that choice today and you've never made that decision before, come see me right after the service is over. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay.